Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Yeah, like Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my blade. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Welcome in. Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenbloom. Stevie Suckage for you. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
John Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck?
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Yeah, your new baseball operations chief just said you're the suck team. Toby!
Oh, my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
And the front of we suck!
Terry Bores!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that's suck.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
I mean, it sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach Levine.
It sucked to have game one.
Alex Kuhn. Alex, are you here?
I'm just trying not to suck.
Too late. You already did. You missed the response. Welcome in. Saturday Suckage. Steve Rosenbloom here. I suck so you don't have to. And as you can see, I have help in that regard. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That will get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, by the way, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Score's text line, 708. The Dodger Boy. Time to commence the suckage. It was already there before I could give out the number. 815 when you thought the White Sox couldn't suck more, they got rid of their best employee, Jason Benetti. Wow, that is well done, 815. And as we've often known here, 815, we end up with a lot of Wake and Bake Club members from the 815. We're proud of you. Thank you very much. I normally start, and we just run through the, we'll run through the dashboard in just a moment, but I want to say this. On Veterans Day, 11-11, my father was a captain in the Air Force. An uncle I never met died fighting in World War II. I would like to send my thanks to veterans and their families for the courage, bravery, and support. I am grateful for the freedoms that you have protected and that my family and I enjoy. Okay, now Sportsapalooza. My guest today, Mark Grody, Scores Bears reporter at 11:20. John Greenberg of The Athletic. He'll be here around 11:40. He wrote a piece on the aforementioned Jason Benetti. It was a short time back, and it kind of presaged, it kind of foretold trouble in Jaredice. Did you see what I did there, Alex? Did you see that?
I did. That was good.
Yeah, Hub Arkish, senior football analyst for The Score. He'll be here at noon. At 12:30 or so, I'll talk to Chris Childers. Or Childers, we're still not sure how to pronounce his last name. He is on Sirius XM. He talks college football and Jim Harbaugh's suspension and a lawsuit and Big Blue has a big black eye and a big red ass. We should ask Hub about that. He's blue. He's Big Blue. Go Blue. Hub's a Michigan man. At 1 p.m., Eric Lemming will talk Bears. He writes for the Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron. At 1:20. Best thing I read this week, an undrafted free agent quarterback with a great story is starting for a legendary NFL team. No, not Tyson Bagent. Maybe better. At 1:40, we'll replay an interview that Gabe Ramirez did with CBS Sports basketball writer John Rothstein. And somewhere during the show, we will bring you Kyle Long's thoughts. He was on with Zach Zabeman last night, and he had some solid thoughts on Justin Fields, how they go about it, and the Bears this year. This heads up, Connor Bedard's next chance to score is tomorrow afternoon at Florida. Look, when you have Connor Bedard and you still have the worst goal differential in the division, then all you care about is Connor Bedard's next chance to score. And that's tomorrow, noon. Maybe there's a 6-point game in his future. Maybe an 11-point game to break Daryl Sittler's record. Can you imagine? Connor Bedard had a 4-point game. Daryl Sittler had that many assists in that February game in 1976 against the Bruins when he was skating for the Maple Leafs. He scored 6 goals that night. He had a 10-point night, a record that still stands. And Don Cherry, the inimitable one, he left goalie Dave Reese in there the entire game. That was Reese's last game in the NHL. Well, no kidding. The Bears' next chance to add to the flaming dumpster that AK created will be tomorrow. Tomorrow night in Detroit. I don't think we'll learn anything new if they beat one of the few teams worse than them. But if they lose, hoo-hoo, a lot of people joining me in wondering what AK does for a living. Either way, you'll hear it at 5:45. That's when Chuck's pregame starts here on The Score. This broadcast note for Monday, brought to you by the home of the Chicago Cubs baseball team, the radio home. Tune in Monday at 10 a.m. for Craig Counsell's introductory press conference as the new manager of the Cubs. Bernstein and Holmes will be a part of our team coverage, broadcasting live at Wrigley Field from 10 to 2. They will be joined by Counsell and other guests. That's all on 670 The Score this Monday. But first, what's the status of Justin Fields?
All the guys that are going through the injury deal right now are going to be working with our guys to get back, you know, and he's no different than anybody else, but have no other update than that.
Yeah. So well said, Matt Eberflus, such an orator, such a great communicator with the public. So inspiring. Exactly the kind of front-facing figure you want speaking to your vast fan base and overtaken by inability to communicate and overwhelmed with paranoia. A man who can definitely handle the media when asking about an injured QB one.
All the guys that are going through the injury deal right now are going to be working with our guys to get back, you know, and he's no different than anybody else, but I have no other update than that.
Okay. He is different from everyone else. He's Justin Fields. He's QB1. He's different from everyone else because he will either be the biggest reason the Bears can contend next year or the biggest reason they won't contend for the next decade. So people want to know. People want to hear what's up with the guy with the dislocated thumb. So last week, Fields was ramping up, dumbass football phrase. So he wasn't letting his hand rest. He was working it, trying to build it up quickly. And Eberflus said there was not significant swelling after the throwing sessions. There's some perspective here, just to put it. Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times crystallized a lot of this. That Fields, here's why it's so important. And here's why the coaches just don't downplay this. Don't let your paranoia overrun with
you. Yeah, that's, I'm not going to comment on that.
Whether it's their own pick or Carolina's, Leisure writes, the Bears are headed toward prime position in an upcoming draft. At least three quarterbacks are projected to go into the top 10, and this is widely agreed upon to be a much stronger class than last year when the Bears traded out of the number one pick and committed to Fields. Before we get to Jason's second point, let me mention this. One of the quarterbacks in that class, there is an actual Ohio State quarterback who has shown he can play in the NFL. The Bears don't have him, and the Bears passed on a chance to draft him by trading that pick away. All right, carry on. But second, Leisure continues, regardless of the alternatives available to general manager Ryan Poles, Fields would seem to need to be persuasive enough that the Bears would treat him like a franchise quarterback contractually. To merely pick up his fifth-year option, a decision they'd need to make in the upcoming season, over the cap estimates the Bears would pay him $23.5 million. I just want to pause here. Let's consider that number, $23.5 million, for a guy who would challenge for the league lead in fumbles and is part of a team that, part of an offense that leads the league in turnovers, in giveaways. Leisure continues. But teams that are certain about their franchise quarterback typically negotiate an extension. The Bengals' Joe Burrow, Chargers' Justin Herbert, and Eagles' Jalen Hurts signed five-year extensions this year, ranging from $255 million to $275 million. That's what quarterback clarity looks like, as opposed to a team still trying to figure it out. So funny that he would mention Justin Herbert. I keep coming back to this. Does Fields look like what you saw from Justin Herbert? Does he? The Bears got trounced by the Chargers. They got picked apart by Justin Herbert. Does Fields look like that?
No.
Thank you for that answer. But the Bears still ask those questions, that question, and it always seems to be, what are we even doing here? Or maybe that's our question, asking of the Bears. What are we even doing here? Why? You know what we're doing here with Tyson Bagent? We're using the Shane Matthews scale of weaker arm quarterbacks. And then we're matching that with the Jay Cutler killer mistake scale. Okay. He didn't do it the other night. But Thursday's win against arguably the worst team, certainly one of the worst teams in the league, playing on the road, short week, rookie quarterback, bad offensive line, missing key players, including a pass rusher the Bears wanted instead of DJ Moore. Here's what it boils down to. The Bears' defense did not allow a touchdown, but even more importantly, the Bears' offense did not allow a touchdown. Think about that. That counts as progress when you think about that. That counts as progress.
We had some good talks about reading keys and a lot of different things, but
Back to the future. Go Bears. take a break. I'll come back. We'll talk more Bears with Mark Rohde, Chicago Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
670 the score.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That sound means he's here. He's Mark Rohde. Pierce. One in a row. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. Are the Bears going to start stacking victories? Is that when you say one in a row? Is that your feeling? Are you with Matt Eberflus?
You know, I think they would be. They would do well to start stacking drives.
Because that would be okay. Yes, yeah, start there. A little rudimentary kind of thing.
Yeah, because I don't trust them to do much else with their conflicted and paranoid way of working up there.
It's such a there's almost like a childishness to this team. You know what I mean? Like there's like a, oh, you could do it. Come on, stack those. Yeah. See those wins feel good, don't
good
they?
Boy.
That was such a good win. Wasn't that neat what went on out there? See what happens when you all play together as a team? Yeah. I mean that's a good concept we just stumbled on. The Bears are childish.
And then they always Then as we try to help them with the coaching, like Trash Panda was screaming on the tweeter machine, run to the right, that's where your best blockers are. Why? When you try to help them, we always end up stepping on Legos. Right? Isn't that what happens?
That's very good.
Oh my
Continuing
God.
On with the theme. Yeah, Trash Panda, you need to get him under control, by the way. That's on you. You're the one who essentially prepared him for life in the big leagues on the Bernstein and Holmes show, and now it seems like he's lost it. So you need to reel your guy back in a little bit.
I don't think so. I'll be working with him on Thanksgiving morning.
Oh, yes.
I see no reason to bring any spasm of sanity or calm to his game.
That's true. That's not what we do in this business. I'm
no,
sorry.
Not.
I'm sorry I tried to contain the Trash Panda, a.k.a. Adam Staszynski.
But he was right. He was right.
Of course
about,
he was. Like, of course he run. Was.
So how does, in the general scheme of things, or maybe Matt Eberflus was able to give a complete sentence answer yesterday, but why does it take so long to discover that if you run to the right, maybe Donta Foreman could score earlier. Maybe you could extend drives. Maybe you don't have to scramble and fight and struggle against a one-win team with a rookie quarterback and a shaky offensive line, missing their best pass rusher and playing on the road and just all of that. I mean, why did he talk about that? Was he asked about why does this offense take so long to realize what it should be doing?
Did anybody ask him that question? No, nobody asked him
nobody
that question.
No. All right. I'd like to throw that out of the universe. And like,
why does this
karma.
Offense take so long to figure out what to do and the right thing? I don't know. I don't know the answer as to why. But, I mean, the only thing I could think of is, and this is just me grabbing at straws, not knowing the actual answer, but I guess you have to mix it up a little bit in order to continue to make the right side as effective as it has been. Maybe you got to, just like with everything, you got to change it up a little bit. You have to give the appearance that you might be doing something else, so eventually other teams don't stack that side and aren't keying on that. So that's the only thing. That's the only possible rationalization I could come up with, but I don't even know if that's the way to do it, because these days, you know, look, power on power is power on power. I mean, we've learned that. I mean, there's nothing more capsulizing of that than the tush push that has become so famous in the NFL over the last year and a half or so, that when it's just power on power, you know, may the best man win, and the best men have been Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright, no doubt about it.
They're crazy to watch. It's a wonderful thing. It's like,
oh, it really is, man. Like, when stuff works out like that, I mean, I guess you got to give the Bears credit on that, that, you know, as painful as all the Tevin Jenkins stuff was in terms of, is he a tackle? Oh, he's not a tackle. Oh, is he even on the team? Oh, he wants to be traded. Oh, you want to, we're going to bring him inside now. Isn't that a waste of a first round pick, even though he's not your pick?
It's so,
and then
true.
I'll be damned if it didn't work. I'll be damned if they weren't right. And also, look, I mean, it's not like Darnell Wright was some sort of out-of-the-box draft pick. I mean, he was well thought of coming out of Tennessee, and most people had him down as a first-round grade. So, you know, that give them credit for taking the right guy. But it is nice, with all the chaos surrounding the Bears this year, it is nice to see something coming into place, on at least on the right side of the offensive line.
Yeah, and it was That brings me to, we'll have bring back some of Kyle Long's interview. He was on with Zach Zabin last night, and he talked, and of course, he's an offensive lineman, and he talked about that. And you could almost hear the giggle in his voice when talking about some of the stuff we just talked about. How much fun they are to watch, because they're running through people, they're destroying people, they're opening holes, and it is the hope. It is the, I think the best thing about the offense, because you don't have to target anybody. You just run behind him, whereas you have to target DJ Moore, and then you have to find a way to get the ball to him. I think that's the best part of their offense right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, but I will say that, does anybody at this point in Bearsdom want that to be the best part of their team? Absolutely not. It's a great thing to have, man. I mean, look, if you can get, you know, locked down, so to speak, offensive linemen on your team like that, that's incredible. But yeah, we still don't want that to be the best part of their team.
My guest is Mark Grody. He's joining me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So, two things. Let's start with what was the best thing you saw, not the victory, but what was the best part? What was the best thing that came out of Thursday night's game for you?
Other than just, other than just adding a win to the column, you know, which maybe wasn't even a great thing in terms of their drafting. I think probably, Steve, honestly, it's something that has been going really well for them, and that is one person, and that's Deontay Foreman. I think that he's been the best thing that there has been and was on this night. Obviously, he had the only touchdown run, and it was power. You know, this guy just kind of wrecks people, and he plays the part of the running back that you look at and say, that's a big, strong guy that should be able to get those easy yards. And I'll be damned if he doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that he probably was one of the best parts to come out of that. Obviously, the continuing development, what we're talking about with the right side of the offensive line. Other than that, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anything that I'm leaving out in terms of what the best parts were. Oh, well, I guess, you know, the fact that the Bears did have three sacks was nice. And I realized that they weren't all, you know, a lot of coverage sacks going on, but that was nice to see. I love that Yannick Ngakoue, his name was called, because I was calling for that before the game. Yeah. And to see the Montez Sweat effect as well. You know, it's not like it was lights, camera, action or anything like that for the defense, but it is nice to see at least progress in that area.
I could see Montez Sweat. It was sort of like Khalil Mack with training wheels having an effect on the Bears defense. For me, the best thing I saw, I agree with the Donta Foreman, but better than that for me was Kyler Gordon.
That's good. Yeah.
I just thought, and I realize it's a rookie quarterback. He's got a bad offensive line, but and he does not have a DJ Moore on that side of the ball. He used to, or they used to. I just think that Kyler Gordon was there making plays, and this is not the first week he's done that. This has been building and building and building. So let me ask you something about Kyler Gordon, the way he, whether it's passes defended or sticking with his man and becoming, as a nickelback, becoming a significant force. Do you think that one of the reasons the Bears have not agreed to a contract with Jalen Johnson is they think Kyler Gordon could do that job and they don't need to pay for that?
Wow. Well, I don't know because he hasn't had – no, I don't, because he's been terrific on the inside.
Yeah.
We don't know. And I think that was one of the questions when he came out. I remember us asking questions of everybody. Is he a guy that can, you know, be your outside cornerback? And there was always, oh, we think he could do a lot. I mean, there's never a distinct answer. He has found a home this year on the inside as your nickelback, as you were saying. So I would say no, that's not what they're thinking, but I do think the Bears might have a gem in terms of being the inside guy. And we know, and I know we hit people over the heads with this, but you know, that inside slot guy has become, you know, not as important or not as prominent as the outside corners, but it's getting there, and I hope that he embraces. And I know for a fact that Kyler Gordon would probably prefer to be on the outside and would love to eventually be there. But I think at this point, when you have found an area where somebody can succeed in a big way, why mess with it?
You grew up watching Bears quarterbacks like Shane Matthews. And I had the Shane Matthews flashback with Tyler Bajan. I've seen that, and I know that I asked the question earlier of anything. When you saw Justin Herbert beat the Bears, did anything in Justin Fields look like that? Does he look like that? Does he look like that on any consistent basis? And Tyler Bajan certainly doesn't. But he did the job they wanted him to do because the offense did not allow a touchdown. He didn't give up a strip sack. He didn't throw a pick six. The offense didn't give up a touchdown. That's Shane Matthews. That's right there, right? That's Steve Walsh. That's just doing that. And I don't know where are you – how do you feel about this? Let's talk about where Justin Fields is and should be. And have we certainly seen – I've seen enough of Tyler Bajan. As much as I love the story, I don't love the quarterback at an NFL level.
You've seen so much of Tyson Bajan that you just called him Tyler Bajan.
Oh,
so
my God.
That's okay.
It.
We all get one. I'm sure if I go back on all my many ramblings, I'll find a couple of Tylers in there, too.
Yeah, okay.
Coming out of my mouth.
Well, there we go. See, but that's how much I'm tired of him.
Yeah, so what was the question now?
An update on Fields,
yes. Okay.
And likelihood that he'll play.
Got you.
Are we all done with Tyson Bajan?
Gotcha. Yeah, so the update on Justin Fields is that probably as we speak, he is rehabbing. He is still in Lake Forest. You know, everybody else, and well, look, all the injured players are rehabbing, and that includes Justin Fields. So he is working in earnest to get back. You know, I think the most important thing that Matt Eberflus slipped in his press conference that he wasn't necessarily asked to answer, and that was once Justin Fields is healthy, he is our starting quarterback. He distinctly said that without mixing any kind of words. So when he's ready, he will be back. So I'm just doing that to kind of wipe out any thought that anybody had in their heads that maybe that they're going to go with Tyson Bajan to develop him and sit Justin Fields. So that ain't happening. But Fields is rehabbing. I think he will play against Detroit Sunday. I think it would be an upset at this point if he didn't. Obviously, there needs to still be a little bit of progress in the rehab that has been going on. But my guess is that he will play against Detroit.
We talked about Darnell Wright. And we talked about Tevin Jenkins and that formidable right side of the line. And yet, Nate Davis be coming back, right? He's scheduled. Is he on schedule to come back for the Detroit game? And then what? If so, then what?
Yeah, I'm not sure about Nate Davis in the Detroit game. I'm a little skeptical that he would be back for it. But the what if question is going to occur eventually, and it's a great question. I am convinced at this point now that you absolutely 100% you keep Tevin Jenkins on the right side. Don't mess with that. I mean, just per our conversation here, they get a good thing going, and you haven't had a lot of good things going this year or last year. So keep him there. Put Nate. You're going to have to play left guard, and I'm afraid Cody Whitehair, and I say that just because everybody loves Cody Whitehair, good dude, all that stuff, but he's going to have to sit, I think, and be the, sort of that, you know, that swing guard, the guy that comes in if anybody gets hurt there. It's just there are, you know, Cody Whitehair is not bad, but at this point there are two guys that are better than him, and that's just the way it is in the NFL. And I think that that's what it should be when Nate Davis comes back.
Okay, before I let you go, do you have any tricks up your sleeve? Can you share them with us?
I don't have any tricks up my sleeve, but I do want to give a quick shout-out to my interior designer, Priscilla, my sister Priscilla Grody. She is here. I just moved into a new place, and she is incredible.
You did?
Yeah, yep, I did.
Finally consummated your move-in with Chris Ronji?
Yeah. I now have the room for Chris Ronji. So yeah, I just she is very, very good at what she does. So a shout out to her and all of the interior designers out there.
Okay, so 262.
Yeah.
Texted us, loving the show, smoking one for each of you fellows.
Oh,
Rod in Cape Town, Wisconsin. That's
thank
it.
You. I can't really get that going until at least noon. So, yeah. I don't know about you, Steve.
Yeah, no. I love pot so much I rub it on my knee. I have pot-infused Bengay to help me with my broken-down body. I recommend it. I talked about it, Avexia. I talked about it here.
Oh, really? You're being serious.
I'm not making stuff up. No.
So it's hemp-based, right? Or
no, it's THC. It's
straight up
THC and 100 milligrams CBD, and it makes me feel good. Well, isn't that the whole idea of the Waking Bake Show?
Here's what I picture you doing, waking and just going into the shower and just smothering yourself in THC. You put it on your knee, you rub it all over your face. Yeah, you wash your hair with it, and you just walk out sparkling and fresh and clean and hungry.
Right. I could fail a drug test from a mile away that way.
And you have like a pound of bacon for breakfast.
Yeah. Bacon is God's food. All right. Thanks, that's Mark.
Right. Bye, Steve. All right.
Mark Grody covers the Bears for the Score. Take a break when we come back. Just when, as this texter said, just when you thought the White Sox couldn't suck worse, Jason Benetti takes a walk, seemingly with the White Sox blessing. Oh boy, there you go. Well, a couple months ago, a columnist for The Athletic wrote something that kind of let you know there was trouble in Jaredeis. And now we saw how it played out. We will talk to that columnist, John Greenberg, after this. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Another kick in the rocks to White Sox fans. Jason Benetti left, and the team let him go. We thank him for his time, and he's going to Detroit. Like, he's going to Detroit. He's leaving Chicago. He's leaving his hometown team. He's going to Detroit. Okay, now that you've thought about that, let's wonder, why should we have seen this coming? Did we know this was coming? I guess it turned out we probably should have known this. Joining me now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is a man who wrote for The Athletic a column. It was John Greenberg is his name. He's here, and it was in March. And John, I got to tell you, it was so fresh in my mind. Two things. One is the Moldorama. And the other part of the story was the way he was talking about the work getting better and better and better and being bigger and bigger and bigger was, I also read into that. But the quote about having people respect him, and for some people that's enough, for some not. And it seemed ominous, and I didn't know, and that's all there was, and that kind of stuck with me. And then what happened this week kind of came home to say, oh, my God. So you had this. You had had time with him, and there's a transparency and honesty about him. So take me back to that time, what you wrote and what you thought and how it presented itself this week.
Yeah, no, I mean, thanks. And, you know, and Jeff Agros of the Sun-Times had something, and I linked it in that original story where Benetti talked about kind of the awkwardness of the contract negotiations because the White Sox, because they're so weird, they don't, like, want to talk to anyone's agents that aren't players. So, like, they, you know, he had to do it himself. And he, it, you know, and as you know, when that happens, that becomes pretty awkward. And there was just some unhappiness between the team and, you know, and I can kind of understand a little bit from their point because I guess they didn't clarify like how many games he could miss for all his college football. And then he's done some, you know, national baseball stuff and like things like that. So they never, I guess they never clarified it. And the sense I got is that Reinsdorf didn't like that. And neither did probably Brooks Boyer and some other people with the Sox that he was missing so much. So, you know, the fact that he only signed a 2-year contract extension this last year, you know, that in and of itself tells you that maybe the relationship wasn't going to last very long. I thought he might stick around a little longer than that to keep working with Stoney. That was kind of the insinuation I got from Jason that he would keep working with Stoney until Stoney decided that he didn't want to work anymore, or work regularly anymore. So yeah, like here's the thing. Like I expected Jason to leave soon, but I didn't expect him to leave to go to the Detroit Tigers, you know? And, someone with the Tigers got a little angry with me because he felt like I was putting down the team. And I was like, listen, it's a broadcast thing. Like, he's like, you wouldn't say it was like a bad lateral move if it was Boston or New York. I go, yeah, that's right. Cause those are bigger market. They're as big markets. This is a much smaller market. He's going to like, you don't go, no broadcaster is ever like, unless you're from Detroit, is ever like, yeah, I'm going to leave Chicago for Detroit for a broadcast gig. It just doesn't happen unless it's, you know, like Chuck Swirsky left back in the day, but that was for a bigger gig, right? When he left GN to go be the guy for Michigan, you know, it just doesn't happen that often. Like we are going to go from one baseball team in the same division to the other baseball team.
Yeah, it doesn't. Although Pat Hughes went from the Brewers to the Cubs, that was
but that's
step
a bigger
up.
Market,
right?
And a lot more money. He told me.
So yeah, well, hello, yeah. Craig Counsell will tell you the same thing, won't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Wrote from Milwaukee, I'm talking with John Greenberg of The Athletic. Wrote a column about Jason Benetti and Jason's honesty, and he talked about being emotionally honest in that piece.
Yeah,
and it kind of, I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't think they'd run. Those guys are golden. You mentioned Steve Stone, and you mentioned that pairing and that team. That's your most front-facing as an operation, as an organization, as a brand, and they're so worried about that. That is first and foremost. There's your TV broadcast. There's your face, your sound, your whatever, and you just it. They think they're replaceable. The White Sox think their announcers are replaceable when you have somebody like is so world-class. I just don't get it. What do they just believe that or not care about it? Or they're not going to be held hostage by a broadcaster who wants
I think that's what it – I think the relationship was frayed because Jason is not afraid to say what he means. You know, I didn't put this in my column I just wrote the other day, and I should have, because Jason was also – if you looked at something I wrote a couple years ago when they weren't – even in 2021 when they weren't traveling broadcasters. And that was kind of a big deal. And I wrote a big feature story about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like all over baseball, people were pissed and they were scared that this was like going to be the new norm. And Benetti was very vocal with NBC Sports Chicago, even though he works for the White Sox, he was very vocal about traveling and he was kind of fighting with them a little bit. And he wasn't going quietly. He wasn't just like, oh, thank you so much for this opportunity. You know, he was pissed. And that's kind of what he hinted at in that big story. And, you know, Jason felt like some people feel like he should feel lucky. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. He got the job in his hometown team and suffers from cerebral palsy. And he's kind of this role model type person. But he's not Jason, he works really hard. And his point was he worked really hard to make that White Sox broadcast better. And I don't think anyone, you know, so, listen, there's some people that don't like him. Some people listen to this show, this right now, are just being like, I don't like Benetti and his shtick, you know, and the jokes and stuff. Some people just want a straightforward ball game, and they just want to hear Steve's analysis and whatever. I've talked to people that didn't like that. They thought Benetti should have done more analyzing on his own, even rather than always teeing it up for Stoney, which I kind of disagree. But here's the thing. He put so much work into it. You can't argue that. Like, he made it better. If you don't like Sox math, that's fine. But like, he's doing the things to make this a broadcast. And I'll tell you what, when they were rebuilding, no one was shilling for this team harder than Jason. I honestly, frankly, found it kind of annoying just because I'm not a Sox fan and I like Jason, but like the constant, like every home run for Eloy is a referendum on, oh, and this is what, you know, they're going to be doing this, you know, for years. Like, he was working hard selling this rebuild to the fans. And I don't know if they appreciated that enough.
John Greenberg,
it's just such a weird organization. You never know what's going on.
It's so right, because, you know, it's incomprehensibly bad sometimes. John Greenberg is my guest. He writes a column for The Athletic. We're talking about Jason Benetti and so much else fans out. Everything seems to have ripples. And Dan Bernstein said that he was told Jerry Reinsdorf didn't think Jason Benetti was funny, didn't like his humor. And I'm thinking,
I don't know that, but I could see it.
Why? Because I find that impossible to believe. He's such a smart guy.
Yeah, but Jerry thought, like, listen, Hawk, I like Hawk because he's entertaining. But, like, yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of the fact that Hawk's in the Hall of Fame, I think, is questionable. Over, I mean, Steve Stone deserves to be in the broadcast wing before Hawk does for, like, actual contributions to baseball broadcasting. But, like, Jerry's taste is not great. When Jerry had his little sit down with reporters, to which I was not invited, The Athletic was not invited, no columnists were invited. Jerry said David Eckstein's one of his favorite players. I read like a joke from like 2004 when people would make fun of people's obsessions with David Eckstein because he's a scrappy little singles hitter. Like, that tells me a lot about Jerry. And the fact that Jerry also, you know, said he's going to hire Chris Getz, not because he's the best candidate, but because he's there.
Well, again, That's part of what we're seeing, and Jason Benetti's the latest part of the chairman, you know, urinating on his fans and telling them he's spraying champagne. And I don't know how you can remain. Can you think about how you remain a White Sox fan at this point?
I mean, just habit. You know, just like, I mean, I don't think it's like people are going to stop. You know, people say they're stop being fans. What it is you're not as enthusiastic of a fan. You're not as involved as a fan. You know, I've got a buddy of mine who works in New York in the entertainment industry, and he's a grown up diehard Sox fan. He told me he just doesn't care about the Sox anymore. You know, he lives in New York, so he's not inundated with them on his TV. He has to search, you know, he has to actually work to watch them. And he said, it's like if someone told you, you can free up 500 hours of your life. And he goes, have Jerry Reinsdorf own your favorite baseball team. That's what he told me, because he's like, because he's like, he's done with them. And this is, you know, and I mean, he's not like, the Benetti thing's not the final straw for him, but he's just tired of them. And you know what, Jason, like I wrote in my column this week, my lead was like a lot of South Side fans, Jason Benetti's quitting the White Sox, except he's actually getting paid more not to watch them. You know, because that's what it's like, perfect, actually, because so many fans are just sick of this team. And like, listen, it's not all Jerry's fault. Like, Jerry didn't sign some of these guys that Rick Hahn signed that you know, that failed. Now, the La Russa stuff is Jerry's fault, but it's not all Jerry's fault. Things went wrong. So, and Jerry didn't want to rebuild, but like, it's Jerry's fault that he's hired the people that he hired, that people had jobs for so long, that just like, that the organization is just kind of stuck. It's really in a bad place right now. And I don't know how much Chris Getz can do to make it better.
I remember, and this speaks to, maybe they don't understand this, but I remember when the Hawks bottomed out and they're rebuilding, mm-hmm. and you the most important person they had in that booth was Eddie Olczyk, and he didn't make every game, but that was the most important salesman. And when you mm-hmm. have had the kind of implosion that the White Sox have had, and you've done it in such a way where you're laughing off the best free agent hitter available. We're not going to be in that. And other insults to your fans. You really need to keep somebody a broadcast team together, and they just don't seem to think that's important. You need something to sell. Your team won't be worth selling, so you need to have some personality, I think. Am I wrong, or are they just going to go about, well, whatever we have, we'll make stars of them?
Well, I will say that, you know, this is part Benetti wanted to get out, too. So it's not all on the Sox. It's not like they fired him. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think you need to have something to sell, and I don't think Stoney's great, but he doesn't have the passion for the White Sox that Jason does, you know, and the kind of Stoney's got the credibility, of course, but like now Stoney's got to work with a new partner. I mean, I've heard that Mike Monaco guy, I think he filled in for Jason and he filled in for Adam Amin is the favorite. I'm kind of surprised Len isn't just stepping up to go back to TV. I think, you know, I guess he really does want to stay on the radio, but remember Len told us his dream was to call World Series games on the radio. And I don't think that's happening anytime soon for the White Sox.
Keeps getting farther away from Len, doesn't it?
Right. It's like the City Series, yes, you'll be able to do that. The World Series, I don't know about that one, buddy. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't think Jason Benetti staying there is going to make Sox fans, like, who's come back this year? Sox fans are still miserable. So, like, I don't know if they're actually losing anything, maybe a few more viewers. But it's just kind of just another, you know, nick on their resume. It's just kind of just something more to be upset about. And they don't even have Sox Fest, so like fans can't even complain.
Well, this would be we'll make the list of everything that's happened that the chairman has overseen, and we'll call it Sox math, and we'll or Sox misery, and then we'll just keep adding it up. John, I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Always, thank you, man.
John Greenberg of The Athletic. Colin, we're talking about Jason Benetti. Just a loss to the city. I mean, even if you weren't a Sox fan, if you just like baseball and the chemistry with he and Stoney, and it happened organically. It was just their personalities there, and how you could not like that. And apparently, there wasn't an awful lot of like in the White Sox front offices, and I guess the chairman's suite, and that's all that matters. And it's a damn shame. But again, White Sox, no, that's a damn shame. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, Hub Arkish, we'll talk Bears and suckage. That's what we do. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Another kick in the rocks to White Sox fans. Jason Benetti left, and the team let him go. We thank him for his time, and he's going to Detroit. Like, he's going to Detroit. He's leaving Chicago. He's leaving his hometown team. He's going to Detroit. Okay, now that you've thought about that, let's wonder why should we have seen this coming? Did we know this was coming? I guess it turned out we probably should have known this. Joining me now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is a man who wrote for The Athletic a column. It was John Greenberg is his name. He's here, and it was in March. And John, I got to tell you, it was so fresh in my mind. Two things. One is the Moldorama, and the other part of the story was the way he was talking about the work getting better and better and better and being bigger and bigger and bigger. Was I also read into that. But the quote about having people respect him, and for some people that's enough, for some not. And it seemed ominous, and I didn't know, and that's all there was, and that kind of stuck with me. And then what happened this week kind of came home to say, oh, my God. So you had this. You had had time with him, and there's a transparency and honesty about him. So take me back to that time, what you wrote and what you thought and how it presented itself this week.
Yeah, no, I mean, thanks. And, you know, and Jeff Agros of the Sun-Times had something, and I linked it in that original story where Benetti talked about kind of the awkwardness of the contract negotiations because the White Sox, because they're so weird, they don't, like, want to talk to anyone's agents that aren't players. So, like, they, you know, he had to do it himself. And he, it, you know, and as you know, when that happens, that becomes pretty awkward. And there was just some unhappiness between the team and, you know, and I can kind of understand a little bit from their point because I guess they didn't clarify like how many games he could miss for all his college football. And then he's done some, you know, national baseball stuff and like things like that. So they never, I guess they never clarified it. And the sense I got is that Reinsdorf didn't like that. And neither did probably Brooks, Boyer, and some other people with the Sox that he was missing so much. So, you know, the fact that he only signed a 2-year contract extension this last year, you know, that in and of itself tells you that maybe the relationship wasn't going to last very long. I thought he might stick around a little longer than that to keep working with Stoney. That was kind of the insinuation I got from Jason that he would keep working with Stoney until Stoney decided that he didn't want to work anymore, work regularly anymore. So yeah, like here's the thing, like I expected Jason to leave soon. But I didn't expect him to leave to go to the Detroit Tigers, you know, and someone with the Tigers got a little angry with me because he felt like I was putting down the team. And I was like, listen, it's a broadcast thing. Like he's like, you wouldn't say it was like a bad lateral move if it was Boston or New York. I go, yeah, that's right. Cause those are bigger market. They're as big markets. This is a much smaller market. He's going to like, you don't go, no broadcaster's ever like, unless you're from Detroit, is ever like, yeah, I'm going to leave Chicago for Detroit for a broadcast gig. It just doesn't happen unless it's, you know, like Chuck Swirsky left back in the day, but that was for a bigger gig, right? When he left GN to go be the guy for Michigan, you know, it just doesn't happen that often. Like we are going to go from one baseball team to, in the same division to the other baseball team.
Yeah, it doesn't. Although Pat Hughes went from the Brewers to the Cubs, that was a
step up. That's a bigger market,
right?
And a lot more money. He told me.
So yeah, well, hello. Yeah, Craig Counsell will tell you the same thing, won't he?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
from Milwaukee, I'm talking with John Greenberg of The Athletic. Wrote a column about Jason Benetti and Jason's honesty, and he talked about being emotionally honest in that piece.
Yeah,
and it kind of, I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't think they'd run. Those guys are golden. You mentioned Steve Stone, and you mentioned that pairing and that team. That's your most front-facing as an operation, as an organization, as a brand, and they're so worried about that. That is first and foremost. There's your TV broadcast. There's your face, your sound, your whatever, and you just it. They think they're replaceable. The White Sox think their announcers are replaceable when you have somebody like is so world-class. I just don't get it. What do they just believe that or not care about it? Or they're not going to be held hostage by a broadcaster who wants
to? I think the relationship was frayed because Jason is not afraid to say what he means. You know, I didn't put this in my column. I just wrote the other day and I should have because Jason was also, if you looked at something I wrote a couple years ago when they weren't, even in 2021, when they weren't traveling broadcasters. And that was kind of a big deal. And I wrote a big feature story about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like all over baseball, people were pissed and they were scared that this was like going to be the new norm. And Benetti was very vocal with NBC Sports Chicago, even though he works for the White Sox. He was very vocal about traveling and he was kind of fighting with them a little bit. And he wasn't going quietly. He wasn't just like, oh, thank you so much for this opportunity. You know, he was pissed. And that's kind of what he hinted at in that big story. And, you know, Jason felt like some people feel like he should feel lucky. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. He got the job in his hometown team and suffers from cerebral palsy and he's kind of this role model type person. But he's not a person. Jason, he works really hard. And his point was he worked really hard to make that White Sox broadcast better. And I don't think anyone, you know, there's some people that don't like him. Some people listen to this show, this right now are just being like, I don't like Benetti and his shtick. you know, and the jokes and stuff. Some people just want a straightforward ball game, and they just want to hear Steve's analysis and whatever. I've talked to people that didn't like that. They thought Benetti should have done more analyzing on his own, even rather than always teeing it up for Stoney, which I kind of disagree. But here's the thing. He put so much work into it. You can't argue that. Like, he made it better. If you don't like Sox math, that's fine. But like, he's doing the things to make this a broadcast. And I'll tell you what, when they were rebuilding, no one was shilling for this team harder than Jason. I honestly, frankly, find it kind of annoying just because I'm not a Sox fan and I like Jason, but like the constant, like every home run for Eloy is a referendum on, oh, and this is what, you know, they're going to be doing this, you know, for years. Like, he was working hard selling this rebuild to the fans. And I don't know if they appreciated that enough.
John,
it's just such a weird organization. You never know what's going on.
It's so right, because you know it's incomprehensibly bad sometimes. John Greenberg is my guest. Writes a column for The Athletic. We're talking about Jason Benetti and so much else. Fans out. Everything seems to have ripples. And Dan Bernstein said that he was told Jerry Reinsdorf didn't think Jason Benetti was funny. Didn't like his humor. And I'm thinking,
I don't know that, but I could see it.
Why? Because I find that impossible to believe. He's such a smart guy.
Yeah, but Jerry thought, like, listen, Hawk, I like Hawk because he's entertaining. But, like, yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of the fact that Hawk's in the Hall of Fame, I think, is questionable. Over, I mean, Steve Stone deserves to be in the broadcast wing before Hawk does for, like, actual contributions to baseball broadcasting. But, like, Jerry's taste is not great. When Jerry had his little sit down with reporters, to which I was not invited, The Athletic was not invited, no columnists were invited. Jerry said David Eckstein's one of his favorite players. I read like a joke from like 2004 when people would make fun of people's obsessions with David Eckstein because he's a scrappy little singles hitter. Like, that tells me a lot about Jerry. And the fact that Jerry also, you know, said he's going to hire Chris Getz, not because he's the best candidate, but because he's there.
Well, again, That's part of what we're seeing, and Jason Benetti's the latest part of the chairman, you know, urinating on his fans and telling them he's spraying champagne. And yeah, I don't know how you can remain. Can you think about how you remain a White Sox fan at this point?
I mean, just habit, you know. Just like, I mean, I don't think it's like people are going to stop. You know, people say they're stop being fans. What it is you're not as enthusiastic of a fan. You're not as involved as a fan. You know, I've got a buddy of mine who works in New York in the entertainment industry, and he's a grown up diehard Sox fan. He told me he just doesn't care about the Sox anymore. You know, he lives in New York, so he's not inundated with them on his TV. He has to search, you know, he has to actually work to watch them. And he said, it's like if someone told you you can free up 500 hours of your life. And he goes, have Jerry Reinsdorf own your favorite baseball team. That's what he told me, because he's like, because he's like, he's done with them. And this is, you know, and I mean, he's not like, the Benetti thing's not the final straw for him, but he's just tired of them. And you know what, Jason, like I wrote in my column this week, my lead was like a lot of Southside fans, Jason Benetti's quitting the White Sox, except he's actually getting paid more not to watch them. You know, it's like perfect, actually, because so many fans are just sick of this team. And like, listen, it's not all Jerry's fault. Like, Jerry didn't sign some of these guys that Rick Hahn signed that you know, that failed. Now, the La Russa stuff is Jerry's fault, but it's not all Jerry's fault. Things went wrong. So, and Jerry didn't want to rebuild, but like, it's Jerry's fault that he's hired the people that he hired, that people had jobs for so long, that just like, that the organization is just kind of stuck. It's really in a bad place right now. And I don't know how much Chris Getz can do to make it better.
I remember, and this speaks to, maybe they don't understand this, but I remember when the Hawks bottomed out and they're rebuilding, mm-hmm. and you the most important person they had in that booth was Eddie Olczyk, and he didn't make every game, but that was the most important salesman. And when you mm-hmm. have had the kind of implosion that the White Sox have had, and you've done it in such a way where you're laughing off the best free agent hitter available. We're not going to be in that. And other insults to your fans. You really need to keep somebody, a broadcast team, together. And they just don't seem to think that's important. You need something to sell. Your team won't be worth selling, so you need to have some personality, I think. Am I wrong? Or are they just going to go about, well, whatever we have, we'll make stars of them?
Well, I will say that, you know, this is part Benetti wanted to get out too. So it's not all on the Sox. It's not like they fired him. But I agree with you. I mean, I think you need to have something to sell. And I don't think Stoney's great, but he doesn't have the passion for the White Sox that Jason does, you know, and the kind of Stoney's got the credibility, of course, but like now Stoney's got to work with a new partner. I mean, I've heard that Mike Monaco guy, I think you filled in for Jason and he's filled in for Adam Amin is the favorite. I'm kind of surprised Lendon isn't just stepping up to go back to TV. I think, you know, I guess he really does want to stay in the radio, but remember Lendon told us his dream was to call World Series games on the radio. And I don't think that's happening anytime soon for the White Sox.
Keeps getting farther away from Len, doesn't it?
Right. It's like the City Series, yes, you'll be able to do that. The World Series, I don't know about that one, buddy. I don't think Jason Benetti staying there is going to make Sox fans. Like, who's come back this year? Sox fans are still miserable. So, like, I don't know if they're actually losing anything, maybe a few more viewers. But it's just kind of just another, you know, nick on their resume. It's just kind of just something more to be upset about. And they don't even have Sox Fest, so like fans can't even complain.
Well, this would be we'll make the list of everything that's happened that the chairman has overseen, and we'll call it Sox Math, and we'll or Sox Misery, and then we'll just keep adding it up. John, I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Always, thank you, man.
John Greenberg of the Athletic. Colin, we're talking about Jason Benetti. Just a loss to the city. I mean, even if you weren't a Sox fan, if you just like baseball and the chemistry with he and Stoney, and it happened organically. It was just their personalities there, and how you could not like that. And apparently, there wasn't an awful lot of like in the White Sox front offices, and I guess the chairman's suite, and that's all that matters. And it's a damn shame. But again, White Sox, no. That's a damn shame. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, Hub Arkish, we'll talk Bears and suckage. That's what we do. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.